Welcome to the Don Provda and Erica Gray Show. The Twist.
Welcome to the Twist News. Tonight, we're going to talk about the rise of independent voters in the United States. And with the elections that are going to be taking place around the globe, which also includes the U.S. elections, this is an interesting phenomenon. So I'd like to welcome our guest on tonight's program, Jeremy Gruber. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and you have some serious accolades. You've written several books, and you're an attorney, and you're very, very entrenched with open primaries. And when I read over the information, I was excited to hear that the independents are actually rising in number in the United States. I'd like you to tell us about open primaries and the rise of the independent voters in this election.
Sure. Well, thank you again for having me. Open Primaries is a national nonpartisan organization. We're working to open primary elections in all 50 states. And the reason why is because right now, our primary elections in most states, access is controlled by the parties. Now, we fund primaries. These are taxpayer-funded elections, and which is why when you go to vote in a primary election in the United States, the experience is the same as the general election. You go into a public location, vote on a publicly funded machine with publicly funded poll workers. The whole thing is administered by the Secretary of State. But independent voters cannot participate in states that have closed primaries. We believe that it is absolutely unjust in a democratic society not to let all voters vote in every publicly funded election. Primaries are often the more meaningful elections, more meaningful than even the general election, and independent voters are shut out. And so open primaries is working to enfranchise independent voters across the country. Now that's increasingly matters because independent voters are now the largest group of voters in the country. They surpass both Republicans and Democrats, and sometimes we forget that because if you get into national news and you listen to public political debates, it's always about Republicans versus Democrats. And certainly when it comes to candidates, that's the case. But if you look at actually at voters, the largest group of voters are independents, and that is also the fastest growing group of voters. Fewer and fewer voters are joining the parties. The parties are bleeding voters. More and more voters are going independent, and they find themselves to be second-class citizens in our primary elections and in many other aspects of our election system as well.
I'd like to just make a couple of comments. On this broadcast, we talk about democracy and the contradictions in the U.S., and I think this is great what you're talking about because you're presenting one of those contradictions. My forte is European Union affairs, and in the parliament are seven parties. Italy has several parties, and as I travel different countries, it's many parties, but you come to the United States, and it's two parties. And another thing I thought was very interesting about what's in your material is the fact that you're almost ostracized, or you're put out of the camp, so to speak, if you're not Republican and Democrat, and it's polarized. And even in the media, there's this conflict and, you know, Republicans versus Democrats. And it almost seems that the government is doing that through its voting system.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we talk about how in America we have a two-party system as compared to, like you said, Europe, multi-party system. But for most Americans, they don't actually experience a two-party system. Most Americans actually experience a one-party system because we have divided ourselves at the state level, geographically, in a way that most states are dominated by one party or the other in this country. Very, very few states anymore find the parties at any level of parity. So your experience as a voter, whether you're an independent or you're a major party voter, you are at the whim of whatever party is in power in your state. They often dominate the state legislature, they dominate elected office at both the federal and local level as well. That is the experience of most voters. So when you have
a closed primary. It isn't just a closed primary of both parties. It's oftentimes the most meaningful election, which is the closed primary of one major party that dominates the political landscape of that state. And if you're an independent voter, you are shut out of being able to participate. So what does that actually mean? Well, what it means is that if you are going to be elected and stay in office in any particular state, it means that only the voters in the majority party that are participating in the primary are calling the shots. They're the ones who are determining the candidates that move on to the general election from the dominant party. But what happens when those candidates get to the general election? The general election is completely uncompetitive in most states. In fact, across the board, almost half of general elections in the United States see candidates running uncontested. Uncontested. One person on the ballot. Only less than 10% of general election races in this country are competitive. Less than 10%. That means the most meaningful elections are happening in the primaries. So you're shutting out the largest group of voters in the country from the most meaningful elections, and you are having smaller and smaller groups of voters, the ones that dominate the one party that controls a particular state. And what you find is a small group of voters have all the power in that state. They're the only group of voters that a candidate or an elected official has to be responsive and accountable to in order to get elected and stay in office. And that's a large driver of the hyper-partisanship and polarization that's happening in this country, because our elected leaders don't have to listen to us. They only have to listen to the small group of partisan voters calling the shots in a closed primary. That's a system that's just unsustainable. It's
undemocratic. It's really undemocratic. They talk about the democratic deficit within the European Union. That's a democratic deficit within the United States. What is open primaries doing to fix this? And with the rise, again, of the independent voters, how is that voice going to be heard in this election? And what are their choices? I mean, there's so many questions that I can just begin to throw at you. But first of all, what have you accomplished so far? What inroads? And then the second question would be, with all of the numbers of the independents, where do they go with this next election? At this next election, what do they do?
Well, here's the good news, is most of the movement across the country is towards more open systems. So we've passed open primaries in a number of states, not just open party primaries where independents can participate, but nonpartisan primaries. We've gotten rid of party primaries in several states already: Alaska, California, Washington, and for state legislature in Nebraska. We've replaced party primaries with nonpartisan open primaries. In a nonpartisan open primary, all the candidates are on one ballot with their party affiliation. All the voters get to vote, and the top candidates go on to the general election. It is a level playing field for both candidates and voters alike, and it's proven to be a bulwark against a lot of the hyper-partisanship and polarization that is happening in these states across the board. So we are making progress, and there are going to be more open primary campaigns on the ballot this November in the United States than ever before in the history of the country. At least six states will be on the ballot to try to open their primaries this November. And so we're seeing a lot of great forward momentum there. We're also working to organize independent voters, because one of the biggest reasons why independent voters are second-class citizens is because they're unorganized. It's quite a contrast. The largest group of voters in the country, but one of the weakest in terms of political power. And that's because they're unorganized. So we've launched a campaign called Let Us Vote. You can go to letusvote.org. And we're working to empower independent voters. Here's the trick. In the general election, in every close election, independent voters are calling all the shots. And they have now for for several election cycles. In the midterms, they called the shots. They're going to call the shots this November. They called the shot in every presidential election race for the last 15 years. Independent voters are the difference makers in every close election. But that's only when it comes to the general election. And by that time, the candidates are chosen for us.
What is the percentage now of independent voters versus party affiliated?
There's now, the number fluctuates, but there's about 45% of the electorate is independent voters. 45%.
That's considerable.
And they are the largest group of voters, in a number and growing number of states. So right now in states like Arizona, Nevada, important political states, Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, Massachusetts, Alaska, independent voters are already the largest group of registered voters in the state. By far. They are the largest or second largest group of voters in almost every state already.
What do you think is lending to the trend? What do you think is causing this trend over these last years of the rise of the independent numbers?
Well, I think it's something that you touched on earlier. More and more Americans are becoming disenchanted, angry, infuriated at the way both parties throw red meat politics at their bases at the expense of getting anything done. Fewer and fewer Americans are seeing a place for themselves in the agenda of either party. And as a result, more and more Americans are saying enough is enough. We want to vote. We believe in the values of this country. We love this country, but we just can't be members of either of these two major political parties anymore. There is no home for us politically in either of them. And so more and more voters are going independent and charting their own course. And what they're finding is a political system that was never designed for independent voters, that was designed for only Democrats and Republicans. And they're finding themselves in second-class status, not just in the primaries, but in a whole host of other aspects of our election system. For example, across the country, independent voters are not allowed to be poll workers. They're not to be allowed to be poll watchers. They're not allowed to serve as election judges. They can't serve on election boards. Independent voters are shut out of a whole host of aspects of election administration and machinery in this country. And that's by statute, by law. And so independent voters are leaving the two-party system because there is no home for them, and then finding themselves adrift in a system that wasn't designed for them and that puts them in second-class status.
I had no idea of any of this, and I'm so glad we're doing this broadcast because, again, this is totally undemocratic for a democratic society that boasts on how democratic it is and how it's run.
It's
unbelievable.
You know, we talk about one person, one vote, right? We talk about values in this country like fairness, that every vote should count equally. Well, that's not the case at all. And the numbers are staggering. Independent voters are the largest, most disenfranchised group of voters in this country by far. 27 million, think about this, 27 million independent voters will be shut out of the presidential primary elections just this year. 27 million. That number could continue to grow because not only are more and more voters becoming independents, but more and more states are looking at closing their primaries. The threat of closed primaries is increasing. While some states are moving to open their system, other states are moving to close them. Wyoming closed their primaries just last year. South Carolina, West Virginia, other states have announced their interest in exploring closing the primaries. So we could be, look, in 2 years or 4 years at an election season where close to 50 million voters are shut out of the primaries because more and more states close their elections to independent voters, now the largest group of voters in the country.
Wow. What kind of headway are you making in all of the other states? You mentioned the states that have made changes. What about all of the other states? Are some about to change? What are you experiencing out there?
Well, here's the good news. Right now, only 15 states completely shut out independent voters. However, a vast majority of states shut out independent voters in some aspect of the primary election, mostly in the presidential. A lot of states that have open primaries have closed primaries at the presidential primary level. So it's a mixture of access and lack of access, depending upon the state. As I said, some states have already moved to a nonpartisan open primary and taken the gatekeeper role away from the parties in our primary system. There are a number of states are going to have open nonpartisan primaries on the ballot just this November. States like Nevada, Arizona, South Dakota, Idaho are all going to have nonpartisan open primaries on the ballot. So there are campaigns growing all the time. There are states that are looking for 2026 and beyond, states like Oklahoma, that are looking to open their primaries as well. So there's a lot of activity going on around the country, both to open the primaries and we're leading a lot of campaigns to try to stop any efforts to close them as well. It's a very volatile and very dynamic moment right now. And we need all the support, all the people to join with us and build with us because both political parties are fighting efforts to open the primaries tooth or nail. This is not a one-party issue. It's not Democrats good, Republicans bad, or vice versa. Both parties, insiders, special interests associated with the parties, are fighting this tooth and nail. Rank and file Republicans and Democrats across the aisle are with us. In fact, open primaries are really one of the few reforms that that Americans of all political persuasions are organizing around. Whether you're conservative, whether you're progressive, whether you find yourself somewhere in the middle, whether you're a Democrat, or Republican, and an independent, or even a third party, more and more voters are saying, why do we have a system where we're paying for these elections? These are public, taxpayer-funded elections. But we're letting private organizations like the political parties decide who can participate and who can't, even at a time when most voters aren't members of either party. It makes no sense. It's totally undemocratic.
And hey, Jeremy, also, I don't think a lot of people are aware. I wasn't aware. And I think a lot of people aren't aware that the independent voter is really ostracized, so to speak, or shut out. I'm an independent voter. I was not. At one time, I was a party voter. But one of the issues I have, and I just want to bring this up quickly, a benefit of being an independent, is that your voting record is on the internet. So if you vote Republican or you vote Democrat, somebody just has to search your name and they can find when you voted, where you voted, and the party you voted for. That always seemed to me to contradict the idea that your voting was in private. Well, the idea is, well, if you're registered Republican, maybe you're not voting Republican. Anyway, so one of the benefits of being an independent voter is also the fact that your vote really does remain private. Because nobody's going to know who you voted for. But once you affiliate with a party line, now that becomes public information, even though your vote is supposed to be private. And the only way to make it private is you have to go through hoops to contact them to make sure you're kept out of a list. That's another contradiction. I love pointing out the contradictions on this show, but that's another contradiction and another benefit of being an independent. If I'm going to vote, I want my vote to remain private. I don't want somebody doing a search and seeing a party affiliation.
Well, it's actually, there's every state works on compiling voter data differently. And unfortunately, one of the big lifelines of politics in this country are the voter data that both parties and their surrogates buy and sell and use for political campaigns. It's the lifeblood of how politics works in this country. And independent voters are not necessarily exempted from that, depending upon the state. But I will tell you this. More and more voters are saying, we want to be free of having to pick a party and stick with it. We don't find a place for ourselves. But in a democratic country like the United States, we should be free to do that and not lose our right to vote. And not lose our right to vote because we don't want to join a private political organization. And right now, many independents move like you have moved back and forth between the parties. Why? Not because they necessarily agree with the parties, but because they want to have an ability to participate in the most meaningful elections, the primaries. And sometimes that means being forced to go along with the current system of political parties in order to be able to have a vote in the primaries. I live in New York City. We have a 5-to-1 voter registration in favor of the Democrats. That means that the Democratic Party primary in New York City is the only election that matters. The only election that matters for most voters in most areas of the city. If you're an independent voter like me, we're now the second largest group of voters in New York and the second largest group of voters at both the state level and in the city level. There's a million independent voters in New York City. A million independent voters. And we can't vote in that
primary. That's a considerable number. That is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge number.
Absolutely. And what it means is that after the primary, the elected leaders that run for offices in my district, they literally can go on vacation. They don't have to campaign after the primary. The primary is the de facto election. It's the election that will determine. Because in the general election, they largely run uncontested or with nominal competition. So, sure, you can run as many get-out-the-vote operations as you want, and hundreds of millions of dollars are spent in this country on get-out-the-vote operations for the general election. But American voters aren't stupid, and they're tired of voting in elections that don't matter. You show up, there's one person on the ballot, or there's one meaningful person in a write-in candidate. I mean, there's no genuine competition anymore in the general election. And more voters see that, which is why we have voter participation levels in this country at some of the lowest in the free world. Because it's the general elections don't matter. They really don't for almost every election. The press, you know, will focus on the horse race, and so you'll see a lot of conversations about those handful of very close races, of which independents will almost always be the deciding vote. But for most voters, it's the primary that matters. And it's the only election that matters. And we're shut out as independent voters. Our vote literally doesn't matter. You know, if you were to describe that system to most voters in America today, to your point, they wouldn't recognize it as our country. They'd think you were talking about a third world country. They'd think you were talking about an autocratic country, some totalitarian country somewhere on the other side of the world. But that's who we are. That's what it is like to vote in America today. Largest group of voters are shut out of the most meaningful elections. That is the storyline of elections in our country today. It is unjust, it's undemocratic, and it's perverting our politics at every level because small groups of voters are calling all the shots. It's why you see all the time why we have broad consensus across the board, whether you're progressive, conservative, in the middle, on a lot of policy issues, whether it be immigration, the economy, you see lots of broad agreement, and yet you don't see any policy getting done that is moving our country forward, and that's because it doesn't need to happen in order to our politicians to be successful. They just have to throw red meat to a smaller and smaller base of voters that they have to be accountable to. And all of us and the rest of us are just out of luck.
That's incredible. It's shocking. It's actually what you're talking about today is just shocking. And you're right. The voting system is like what you would expect in autocratic type of country. I mean, this is unbelievable. I had no idea of all these details. Is your group growing? Is it getting more people?
Here's the good news. The good news is that the open primaries movement is growing. more and more independents are joining with us, as well as member Democrats and Republicans who are tired of the hyper-partisanship and the polarization that is causing everybody to roll over, to lose sleep, to turn off the TV every time this hyper-partisan bickering comes on in front of us, all over our social media. We're tired of it. All of us are tired of it. And it's all coming from a system that incentivizes our politicians to act in a way that is completely opposite to the way they should.
Our politicians, your group becoming a movement. Is it becoming a movement in the United
States? We are building a movement. Like I said, we're going to have more open primaries campaigns on the ballot in 2024 than in any year before. We're building a movement.
That's Bobo. Bobo will stop in a minute. Sorry, delivery man. Or what is the growth of your group at this time? Let's say over the last 5 years.
Oh, we're growing. We're more and more people are joining open primaries or the organization as supporters every day. You can go to openprimaries.org, sign up, join us, become a supporter, learn how you can get involved. If you're an independent voter in particular, you can go to our campaign, letusvote.org. And learn how to showcase your independence, get involved, meet other independents, and we're trying to humanize independent voters. You know, few people really understand that independent voters are a large group of voters. They don't really know who independents are. There are all of us. All of us are independents. You know what the largest group of independents are? Our young people. Over half millennium and Gen Z voters are independent voters. Which are now the largest group of voters in the country by age, are our young voters. They have surpassed baby boomers. So we're in an epic shift of voter affiliation in this country. Half of our young voters are choosing not to join a party the way I used to, you know, I and folks of my generation, you would join your parents' party. That's just not happening anymore. More and more young people are saying enough is enough. We don't see a place for ourselves.
So people can just go to the website, they can sign up, and
you can go to openprimaries.org and sign up. You can go to letusvote.org and sign up. More and more people are joining with us every day. We are building a movement. We're building a movement of Americans who are saying you shouldn't have to join a private political party in order to vote in this country. And we're working to pass new laws every year that let more and more independent voters participate, that give party voters more choice and more access to vote for the elected leaders that matter. You should be able to vote in this country for whoever you want and participate in every election that you want to vote in. That's just not the case right now. Open Primaries is working to change that.
I think that's wonderful. I liked what you said about the younger people. I think they can tune into the networks, news networks, and hear the same bickering. I think it's kind of like a soap opera. Like whether you tuned in 20 years ago or you tune in today, it's the same dialogue, the same drama, the same episodes, just slowly moving forward. And I think the younger people can recognize that and are tired of it.
Half of our young people are not joining a party. That's a fact, and it's causing seismic ripples throughout a political establishment that thinks that they can keep doing politics as usual and that younger voters will come along for the ride. It's just not happening in this country anymore. More and more young voters are tuning out both parties. They're becoming independent. They're tuning out politics altogether, quite honestly, and looking to impact their communities in other ways. They're so repulsed by the partisan bickering coming from both sides of the aisle. But young voters are going to change this country the way that young voters change the country every generation. And more and more of them are going independent. And we need to change our election system to accommodate them.
Well, this is exciting, and hopefully we have you back and you can give us a report after the elections to see the headway you've made, you know, during just the course of this election that's coming up. I think this is very, very exciting. This sounds like wonderful changes that are needed. And I had no idea of the details that you described and how much lack of democracy was really in the voting process.
Well, we need everybody to help spread the word and help us recruit more people to join the movement. Open, have family, your neighbors, your colleagues, help spread the word.
The website, it's openprimaries.org. Please check out his website. Join the movement. On this channel, we talk about the lack of democracy that's in the stated democracies and the brand of democracy, which is not really necessarily democracy. So please, this is an area where you can make a positive change here in the United States. Check out his organization and join it. Anyway, Jerry, thank you so much and would love to have you again to give a report, a status report in the future on your group.
Thank you for having me, and I'm happy to come back anytime.
Yeah.
Tune in next time for more from Don Provda and Erica Gray for their twist on world news.